Freedom is good. Liberty is good. Capitalism is good. Tony Katz is spectacular.
Tonight on our great, great American panel, he's a radio talk show host, Tea Party organizer. He's based in Los Angeles. Tony Katz is here.
This is the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular.
Nay, I believe, will rule that the individual mandate is indeed unconstitutional, because of course it is unconstitutional.
The views expressed on the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular are not necessarily those of the station you are listening to, even though they really, really should be.
And that's President Obama. He is completely devoid of the ravages of thought.
Now sit back, light up a guilt-free cigar, and let's start the show!
The Tony Katz Radio Show begins right here, right now, 805-639-0008, 805-639-0008. The chat room is open, allpatriotsmedia.com. allpatriotsmedia.com/chat. And I know, Board Op Tom, I don't understand why it works better this way, but it does, and that's all I can hope for. 805-639-0008. Elections across the country yesterday and debate tonight. That's what I want to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen. Your thoughts on debates tonight, who must succeed, who will fail, what will happen after tonight's debate. I believe we are in Michigan this evening. Your thoughts on the debate upcoming, 805-639-0008. Craig Robinson, the Iowa Republican, will be with us a little bit later to discuss. But there were elections all around the country yesterday, all over the place yesterday. See, no. Don't tell me that. Hold on a second. Don't tell me you're having a problem there. Everything's working too well to have a problem. My goodness, everybody. Elections all across the country. And a lot, really, really, no audio on the online feed. I have somebody looking into that again right now. But there were elections all across the country yesterday. And one of those elections had Russell Pierce, the state Senate president in Arizona, losing to a fellow Republican. You had a guy by the name of Jerry Lewis. I swear to you, that's his name. I couldn't make it up. He's a charter school executive, losing, beating the incumbent, Russell Pierce, who is very well known for his stance on SB 1070, the Arizona immigration law. And while it was indeed Jerry Lewis and his campaign who tried to paint Russell Pierce as an extremist, there is a little bit more to the story, and there is a part two and a part three to this story that have to deal with some murky dealings by Russell Pierce. So this was more than just a surface conversation. This is a little bit about some internal Arizona politics that those of us who aren't in the game in Arizona might not be aware of. An ethics scandal also for Russell Pierce. But that'll be seen as this loss, this big loss for the anti-immigrant movement. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing about SB 1070. There's nothing about the Alabama law. There's nothing about what South Carolina is trying to do that has anything to do with being anti-immigrant. It's really, really important that we understand this. It has to do with being anti-illegal invader, something that every single one of us should be. Because this idea that we don't have in this country borders, that people are people. No, people are people. I accept the fact that human beings are human beings. But a human being who lives in Mexico should really make Mexico a great place. It can be a fantastic place. It can be an amazing place, a stunning place, a glorious place. It's not. And why should the United States of America, which has an inherently different culture than Mexico, accept people in from Mexico without going through a legal system, and then accept the idea that we should change what America is to what they think it should be, or to what Mexico is, using that as the example. And by the way, the other reality is that there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people every day who cross the border, OTM, other than Mexican. This idea that these bills, that SB 1070 or the South Carolina bill or the Alabama bill is about Mexicans is laughable. It's a joke. What isn't a joke is what Mexico has done to Mexico and Mexicans and the lack of ability of Mexicans to fix Mexico. That is not a laughing matter. In some of the other big elections across the country, I wrote this down as kind of a way to explain it. You try and get an idea of what elections are telling you. What does it all mean? You have Virginia, which has Republicans gaining control of the state Senate. You have Mississippi, where the concept of personhood was turned down. Personhood would mean that life begins at fertilization. It was their way of doing an end around and a straight out onslaught, attack, assault on abortion rights, quote unquote. In Kentucky, a Democrat is reelected. In Mississippi, where they denied personhood, they still elected a Republican as governor. And in Ohio, you have this SB 5, this conversation about collective bargaining, that goes down in flames. But they still in Ohio vote to opt out of Obamacare. Picture that scenario. What just happened in Ohio? They said that it is not okay what the Republican legislature passed in Ohio that goes after collective bargaining, that says that collective bargaining is wrong. And by the way, we're discussing collective bargaining for public employee unions, which is wrong. It is absolutely wrong. Public employee unions are wrong. They're flat out wrong. They should not be in existence, period. I defy you to show me that they can be. I defy you to prove to me that they absolutely can be. 805-639-0008. But they also say Obamacare. No. This from Fox News. Voters in Ohio have approved a ballot measure intended to keep government from requiring Ohioans to participate in any health care system. The constitutional amendment passed is largely symbolic, coming in response to the 2009 federal health care overhaul, a provision of which mandates that most Americans purchase health care. Symbolic in terms of what it does for Ohio, not symbolic in terms of the message that it sends to the nation about the 2012 race. But you have this interesting multiplicity of things that have played out across the country. When we come back, I will discuss what these elections mean. And the only one question that matters from all of their results. Stay with us. Much more to come. This is the Tony Katz Radio Show on the All Patriots Media Network.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring with high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is of vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want grade hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-411-1120 to get your free copy now. 877-411-1120. 877-411-1120.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-617-0298. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-617-0298. That's 800-617-0298. Again, 800-617-0298.
Ah, Mexican radio. You see? You see, there it is. Yeah, people in the chat room infuriated that the stream is not working. They think the stream is anti-Semitic. I understand. I understand. The Tony Katz radio show continues. 805-639-0008. 805-639-0008. The chat room is open. Don't get me wrong. You can get in there. You can be a part of the conversation. It is a wonderful place to be. AllPatriotsMedia.com/chat is where you go. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Blueberry. We're updating a ton today. Got so much stuff up and ready to go and enjoy. Oh, just good times had by all. You can kick back, relax, take a bubble bath, if you will, listen to my soothing voice. You know, that's what you do. Hey, listen. That is exactly what you do. But I stated, and I wanted to hear from you, of course, on your thoughts on the debate. We'll be talking about that later with the one and only Craig Robinson of the iowarepublican.com. But in these conversations about the elections, there's only one question that matters. These elections that happened all over the country, because you could say that the unions won in Ohio. They're going to keep their collective bargaining. They win. They win. They were able to push it back. They were able to do in Ohio what they weren't able to do in Wisconsin. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. But in the same state, they pushed back Obamacare. Well, if we want to pretend that the world is totally ideological and split down the middle in that case, that's a wash, isn't it? Where is it? That Mississippi votes for their lieutenant governor, who is a Republican, to become the governor to replace Haley Barbour, but denies the concept of personhood. This is Mississippi. Wouldn't they be the people who would go for personhood? The idea that we should completely outlaw abortion? We're talking about a socially conservative state? And they pick a Republican governor. Kentucky overwhelmingly elects their Democrat governor. It's the same state that 2 years ago elected Rand Paul, Republican, son of Ron Paul. What does it mean? What does it tell us? How do you coalesce those vapors and put it together into a cohesive thought? Well, let me at least funnel it through the one question that matters, the only question that matters. What does this say about Obama in 2012? How does it affect the election? I'm taking a look at it just like you are. I don't claim to have any specific insight or knowledge more than the average bear in this case, because I think those people who are prognosticating are doing, you know, what they do best. You know, well, that's what a talking head does. That's what a pundit does. You'll notice that when I go on, whenever I'm on Fox or MSNBC or RT or another radio station, I am not, I don't deal in the game of speculation. I can back up my thesis. We talk about states. We talk about how they're polling. Numbers matter, and I'm getting better and better and better and doing more and more research on that polling every single day. When I discuss the fact that black America is staying home for President Obama, that's not based on what I think. That's based on what you see. That's based on the reality. That's based on the numbers. That's based on a multiplicity of conversations, including the idea that many black Americans voted for Obama in 2008 because he is black. But that loyalty does not exist in 2012. I know it doesn't exist in 2012 because you have people like Tom Joyner, a radio host, very popular morning show host, saying that you have to vote for Obama because he's black. But now if you have a Herman Cain in the race, there are polls out there that say, I'm not going to assume one guy is black and one guy isn't. I would vote for a black Herman Cain, or I'd vote for a black Barack Obama. You all of a sudden throw the color issue out, and you're left with the ideological issue, which is what the left is all about. When they say, when Tom Joyner says, you got to vote for President Obama because he's black. No. You have to vote for President Obama because he is a leftist. The color disappears if we're matching up color to color. It's one of the reasons they are so desperate to go after Herman Cain time and again, because they do not want to have this issue. They don't want to be forced out into the open that it is indeed an ideological conversation, a leftism conversation, not a conversation about color. They use color as a way of dividing people and preventing us from getting to the real issue. The real issue, of course, being leftism and the support of an ideology and an ideological stance that supplants color and religion. Remember, the hardcore leftist progressive doesn't believe that Herman Cain is black. They flat out don't believe it. So the only question that matters in all these elections is how? What does this say about Obama in 2012? What does it say? How does it affect the race for president? What if I told you that it doesn't? Not even the concept of the wash. That Russell Pierce is recalled. I guess I'll call it recall, but I think it was just a straight election. Someone's got to double-check that. And replaced with a Republican who basically went on the tact of saying he was too much of an extremist. And he himself, this guy Jerry Lewis, who said the Arizona immigration law is a good start. Russell Pierce is the extremist, but SB 1070 is just a good start. That's hilarity. You're calling one guy one thing and you believe the same exact thing. That's politics, ladies and gentlemen. And people get a mantra, they get a stink on them, they get a label, they get the albatross, and then, you know, that's that. That's the personalization of politics. That is Alinsky. That's rule number 12. Pick the target, personalize it, freeze it, and polarize it. That's what you have in Arizona. I say it's a wash. Because at the very, very end of the day, if you take a look at these conversations, where Virginia's probably going to get control of the state Senate. Virginia, by the way, a swing state that I believe will go for the Republican. No matter who the Republican is, Obama loses Virginia in those electoral votes. You have Mississippi in this conversation of personhood. You have Ohio and the collective bargaining law. And also Ohio and Obamacare. Only the collective bargaining law can be seen as an economic conversation. None of the other ones that I have listed can be seen as an economic conversation. And what the unions were able to do was to paint it not as an economic conversation, but rather as a fairness conversation. That they're attacking these poor people. When the voter goes to vote in 2012, November 6th, it will be about what is in their left front pocket. It will be what they have in their wallet. It will be the money that they have in their bank account. It will be whether or not they have a job or a job prospect. It's not going to be the social conservative issues. It's not going to be... Well, I'd say Obamacare is going to be in there. But Obamacare is going to go back to an economic conversation. There wasn't a straight-out conversation about money in any of this. There were tangential conversations in two places, specifically Ohio, about money. And oddly enough, they split it. It's going to come down to the dollars. Do you have a job? Are you better? Someone said, who said it? Someone actually used the line, are you better off now than you were $4 trillion ago? That is a great... great take on the famous are you better off now than you were 4 years ago by Reagan. Are you better off now than you were $4 trillion ago? That's special. That is special. That's what's going to come down to. And you can take a look at these elections all you want, and you can take a look at even what's happening in Virginia. This Republican swing. Okay. I don't get me wrong. Good. I don't know if it's great. It's good. But as it affects 2012 and as it comes down to 2012, this is a conversation about money. And none of these things are I think, hitting on to that specific base issue. That it is all about the Benjamins in the end result. So I'm going to let the pundits, you know, have their fun and go nuts and play their reindeer games. I'm not interested. Because if the question is, as I stated, what does it say about Obama in 2012? The answer is, not much. Democrats are trying to spin it as a win for unions, and the Democrats in Arizona are trying to say, good for the people of the 18th District who got rid of such a horrible, horrible person. Yeah, they still got a Republican in there. They're going to demonize that guy tomorrow. Today, they're happy to get rid of Russell Pierce. Tomorrow, they attack Jerry Lewis. Not that Jerry Lewis. The Jerry Lewis who just got elected in Arizona. You know, that's not going to change. There's going to be no change in the attacks on Republicans from Democrats. There's going to be no change in the amount of money unions spend to try and get Obama elected. They may have to actually double and redouble their measure. Who knows? This is an economic vote. This is 9% unemployment with a U6, meaning unemployment and underemployment. People will stop over 16. It's a misery index of 12. This is a world in which Greece will collapse. Italy is going to get rid of Berlusconi. By the way, Italy drops Berlusconi today and the Dow only drops 300 points, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here to tell you, the Dow is a measure of nothing. It's a measure of nothing. Berlusconi in Italy says he will resign, and that moves the Dow 300 points. That's the big shaking news. The only thing people care about is whether or not they have a job. It's the only thing that's going to matter for 2012. The only thing that will matter. So you can take a look at these elections all you want. Disagree with me if you will. 805-639-0008. I look forward to hearing it. Stay with us. Much more to come. Craig Robinson with us next to discuss the upcoming debate. This is the Tony Katz Radio Show on the All Patriots Media Network. In pocket,
you can paddle. Want a great hamburger? Want some fun? How about some entertainment tonight? Go to Good Bar. Good Bar and Grill, 533 Main Street. A big shout out to you, Kate. You do a great job, honey, of running this place. It's friendly. When you walk in, you just feel like you're at home. Yeah, they have a good bar at Good Bar. I'm an iced tea drinker. Once in a while, I'll have something a little bit stronger. But look, here's what I want to share with you. They do good things for the community. They have an art center on one of their walls where they display pictures of local artists. They've got one of those outside areas that you can sit like you're in France and people watch like the coach likes to do. But the bottom line is it's a wonderful place to go and have a meal. Dinner, lunch. I'm telling you that I think they have the best hamburger in town. Good Bar. Good Bar. Remember the name. If you're downtown in Ventura, 533 Main Street, plenty of parking. They got a big parking lot behind the building. Good Bar, Ventura, 533 Main Street. Are you tired of paying too much for your health insurance? Hello, everybody. This is Coach Ron Tunick. My insurance agent is Jim Nickel, and I buy my insurance from Jim. Hello, Jim. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Thanks, Coach. You know, after 18 years in business helping folks with a common sense approach to insurance and financial services, I can save you a lot of money on your health insurance. Just call Nickel Insurance and Financial at 642-1775 for a free checkup.
If you're a techno geek, you go to parties and recite the number of visitors to your website and rank what browsers they use to find it. If you're not a geek, you need someone to worry about your website. Wildcat Web Services focus on your website so you don't have to. They have designed many websites for Fortune 1000 and mom and pop companies. Wildcat Web Services is always on time and on budget. Check them out at www.wildcat.la or call 866-370-6218.
I'm just about to rock out to the music. Hold on here. All right, this is Rush. Who is this? What song is this? Rush, Working Man. Ah, there you go. The Tony Katz Radio Show continues. 805-639-0008. 805-639-0008. Chat room is open. AllPatriotsMedia.com is where you go. Click on the chat link. Just that easy to do. And while you're there, subscribe to the podcast, of course. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes or Blueberry, the Tony Katz Radio Show. You'll be much better off for it. From CNBC, weak economy takes center stage tonight at the GOP debate. Rochester, Michigan. High unemployment, a teetering economy, and Europe on the brink sets a daunting backdrop for Wednesday's debate for a Republican presidential field without a clear leader. I don't accept the premise of that first paragraph. It is a daunting backdrop for a president who has absolutely positively no idea what the hell he is doing. How is that a daunting backdrop for a Republican field without a clear leader? They keep telling me Mitt Romney's the clear leader. I don't know who's voting for him. I don't know who's supporting him. I don't know who's backing him. I don't know who loves him. I don't know who cares about him. I don't know who looks at him and says, my God, if we don't have Romney, we're all going to die. I can actually say that about every other candidate, except Huntsman. But I even know some crazy Gary Johnson fans. They'll all tell you, if we don't have that their guy, it's the end of the world as we know it. There's still some Michelle Bachmann fans out there. By the way, can I put it out there that I don't think Bachmann makes it to the Iowa caucus? I got to double-check how much money she has on hand. I don't see it. I don't see how she gets out of the third tier. I cannot in any way visualize it whatsoever. Joining me right now to discuss this debate from theiowarepublican.com, theiowarepublican.com, former political director of the Iowa Republican Party, Craig Robinson is here. Young man, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Tony?
I'm doing very well. Doing very well. Checking out this debate, taking a look at the field and this quick article from CNBC, which talks about the Republican presidential field without a clear leader. They keep telling me that Mitt Romney is the clear leader. I'm asking you, where is and who is the Romney supporter?
Well, you know, I went and covered an event that Romney was at in Iowa, one of the few that he's had during this caucus cycle, and I think his voters are kind of the older crowd, but I mean, they're not excited. They're not. There's not a, you know, he's not really energizing people. He's only appealing to those who, you know, are simply Republicans who, well, I just want to win. You know, anything's better than Barack Obama.
Anything is better than Barack Obama, but seriously, you don't put your time, your patience, your money, your love into a Mitt Romney, do you?
No, I don't think so. And I think if Romney somehow gets this nomination, I think he's going to have a very difficult time getting the base of the party, which knocks on doors, makes phone calls, does all the grunt work. How does he reach out and get those people involved?
I have absolutely no idea. I was saying this exact thing yesterday. They may, the Tea Party may turn up their nose and vote for him in the end result. They may in that booth, but they're not going to campaign for Romney. They're not going to do it.
And I also think they're going to make it hell on him because, you know, they're going to hold his feet to the fire as a candidate just as much as they're going to do for Obama. It's very difficult. And that's why I think that what we've seen in these early polls and all these polls coming out is it seems like people are searching who's the candidate, who's the alternative to Mitt Romney in this race as a conservative. And that's
right.
We
keep hearing about the concept of the anti-Romney. And first it was Rick Perry, and then it was what the hell just happened to Rick Perry because he couldn't debate. Can Rick Perry resurge?
I think it's going to be very difficult. And the reason why, I think if you kind of bottomed out in your polling, it takes so much, such a greater effort to rebuild than it does if you've never been there before. So, I mean, I think Rick Perry has some really big obstacles in his way if he's going to regain. Because I think people would overlook some blemishes on his record. I think the problem that he's having in terms of connecting with voters is that, is he an intelligent candidate? And I think that's something that he has yet to prove.
Well, he has the tax plan out there, which some people like. I've heard some people say...
I think it comes down as, you know, are you smart? Are you articulate? Can you deliver the message? And that's what he struggled at. And I don't think people can get over that.
Well, let's talk about somebody who we can't question the smart, but we can question the delivering the message, especially with all the stumbling because of the so-called scandal, which is Herman Cain. How do people in Iowa view this press conference yesterday where he was clear as a bell, Craig? It wasn't him. He never did anything like this. He flat out denies it, period. I mean, there's no wiggle room out of this one.
No, I agree. I mean, he took a hard line in that press conference. The problem that I have is what happened after the press conference and what kind of has haunted Herman Cain as a candidate. Where, you know, a week ago it was, well, this story, you know, came from the Perry campaign. And then it's the Democrats. And now today, you know, last night they were blaming this kid who works for the Politico or used to work for the Politico, son of this woman. And it's not. I mean, every
right.
time his campaign is loose with the facts, it undermines his credibility when he's saying, I don't know this woman.
And right. So one of the accusers.
Yeah. Just so I can
tell the story, one of the accusers is Karen, I think, Krauschar. And there's this guy named Josh Krauschar who writes, and they claim that Josh was the son of Karen. The one of the accusees of Herman Cain, the accusers of Herman Cain, I don't know how you'd even say the word, but he's not, they're not related, nothing happened, yet there's Mark Block, the campaign manager for Herman Cain, saying this on Hannity.
Yeah, and it undermines Cain's credibility, and that's why you just, if there's one thing you can't do in a presidential campaign, it's be fast and loose with the facts.
Yeah, well, the question is, it doesn't seem at the moment to be affecting him in the polls. Is it affecting the people of Iowa?
You know, here's what I've seen in Iowa. I think the initial allegations, I think people were like, you know what, we just got to wait and see. I'm not going to make a snap decision. Now that there's actually women coming forward and putting their, you know, names out there and telling their side of the story, it has a greater effect. Now, you know, Cain needs to put this story to bed somehow Because all we're talking about in Iowa is a Herman Cain sex scandal. And I don't care who you are, that's not good. I don't care if it's helping you raise money. It's not good that that's the conversation that's going on out here. So
we could talk about a Craig Robinson sex scandal. Do you want to talk about your sex scandal? I will gladly talk about the Craig Robinson, the IowaRepublican.com sex scandal.
Good luck. I don't think anyone cares about me. I'm not running for president.
So let me ask you, if all they're talking about is sex scandal in Kane, and they're not able to talk about anything really specific, is there something to be said for the Gingrich surge, two-parter? And is Gingrich, you know, really starting to fly in Iowa? And why is it, and I'm a fan of Gingrich, I don't think I'm shy about this, why is it that I still have half an eye on Rick Santorum?
Yeah, great question. If you talk to, you know, as I go to events and cover events and talk to activists, two names always surface: Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum. And I think that there is a common bond between those two. It's because they're very, very serious candidates. They offer, you know, a wide range of substance when it comes to any issue. And, you know, the advantage that a Santorum has is that he has visited all 99 counties in Iowa. He is taking this, you know, really seriously, ignoring his standing in the polls, going out there and working with his head, you know, down. Gingrich, on the other hand, has kind of a different strategy where he's just laser-focused on issues that matter to people. And when people ask you a horse race question, he gets, you know, I've seen him in press conference. He'll just dress down the reporter and say, you know, I'm rolling out my new contract with America, and you want to ask me a fundraising question? Seriously. You know, is that all this race is about? It's not about issues? People are responding to the seriousness on which the issues that those two campaigns want. And I think Santorum has a natural in with Iowa social conservatives, and no candidate over the last decade and a half has spent more time in Iowa than Newt Gingrich. So these two candidates are the ones that I have my eye on because they're the ones people keep talking to me about in Iowa.
You know, Santorum hasn't proven to me that he's my president. He really and truly has not. What I completely dig about Santorum, completely dig about Rick Santorum, is that he is absolutely unafraid. Ron Paul wants to talk about the Fed, and he wants to talk about foreign policy. Yeah, I'm in on that conversation. What, you want me to go head-to-head with Gingrich on American values and solutions? Sure, why not? I'm there. You want me to take on Mitt Romney, bitch-slap him back to Massachusetts? I'm in for that. Somebody get me a belt and some gloves. Get me a gi. I'll go mix martial arts on these people. Let's play. That's what I get from Santorum, and I'm telling you, while I still am not there with many of his social conservative stances, he is compelling in the debates.
This is the thing, too, about Gingrich. This is the type of nominee Iowa Republicans want. They want someone that's going to go on the offensive against Obama. And so look at the two candidates that they're kind of talking about. These are the guys who are on the offensive, you know, pushing ideas forward. They're not personality-based candidates. They're not doing it with, you know, it's like Romney, I don't even know what issues he really cares about. I mean, he just kind of is there. These two people would offer stark contrast to Barack Obama. That is why Iowa Republicans are looking at these guys, because they are fighters. There's no doubt in anyone's mind they want to see a debate between Newt Gingrich and President Obama. They would love to see a debate between Rick Santorum. Because they know, and Obama, because it's going to be about the issues. And they can't see how Obama wins that fight. And that's why they're responding to these two guys.
Michelle Bachmann, she's still in this race?
You know what? This is, I wrote a really probably harsh analogy. I think Michelle Bachmann's problem is that she's still stuck on her original talking point. I lot up the need to repeal Obamacare, repeal Dodd-Frank. And a lot of legislation like that, but it's the same thing that she was talking about, you know, 6 months ago. And so the problem is Michelle Bachmann's kind of become the like a TV commercial that when it first came on, it was catchy. But now it comes on, and it annoys you, and you wonder why the volume's so loud. And it's just, you know, people want to like her. They turn out to her events. But I don't think she's sealing the deal with these people, because the comparison between her and a Santorum and Gingrich isn't good either. Because these guys can talk about, you know, a Santorum's talking about Iran and not just, you know, not just social, cultural issues, but he's talking about Iran and welfare reform and all these other things. And, you know, Gingrich is going to talk about a whole array of issues. And Bachmann's still just pounding through this kind of legislative, you know, type agenda that, you know, is anti, you know, Obama, which people like, but she's not giving them a full, you know, a full entree or a full meal to dine on when it comes to the issue.
There's not enough to her?
I think that's what we're coming to the conclusion of.
Now, he won a couple of straw polls recently, but I have heard very little. Very, very little. Maybe I'm not listening. Maybe I could be accused of that. I've heard very little of Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he in Iowa?
You know, Ron Paul comes into the state, does a few events here and there, and leaves. He's someone, though, that he's so different from all the other candidates that he doesn't have to play by the same rules. For example, Ron Paul came to the state a month ago and had 1,000 people at the University of Iowa show up for a speech. So we haven't seen a candidate draw 1,000 people anywhere. So he has pockets of support. His supporters are very passionate. They're going to turn out on caucus day if there's a hurricane in Iowa or a snowstorm or you name it. But, you know, he doesn't operate like the other candidates, so it's hard to gauge, you know, where he's at. I think he's going to be strong when it comes to caucus day here. I think he's probably looking at a third place finish, at least.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I don't. What would keep him out? What would make him say, you know what, I'm done here? Is there any way that he doesn't ride this through to the very end, to the bitter end, like through Super Tuesday, bitter end?
No, he's right. He ain't going anywhere. I think, look, the candidates that I think are that could get out of the race because things don't look good is Michelle Bachmann, a Rick Perry, those type of people, I think would be out long before Ron Paul ever.
Oh, no, I totally agree. As I was saying before you came on, I don't think Michelle Bachmann's going to make it to Iowa. How much money does she have on hand?
Well, I don't know, but I would say, I mean, the last accounting, I think she had maybe $1 or 2 million in her account. And the thing is we keep kind of seeing a different strategy for her in Iowa. And it's, you know, it seems like for a while she's really going to do a lot of events, then she kind of scales it back. And the problem is that she's just, without the media attention that she received before the Iowa straw poll in August, without that kind of coverage, she just doesn't move the dial.
I couldn't agree more. Craig Robinson, the Iowa Republican. Go check out the site, theiowarepublican.com. Follow him on Twitter, at @IowaGOP. Craig Robinson, thank you, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Take care.
Absolutely. Stay with us. More to come. This is the Tony Katz Radio Show on the All Patriots Media Network.
Want a free computer? Listen up. For 16 years, Cosmic Sales has been one of Southern California's hidden jewels, providing refurbished Dell computers and parts to local schools and businesses. And now, we're open to the public, too. To celebrate, we're giving away 5 free computers each Saturday morning this fall. The first 5 people who visit Cosmic Sales on Saturday mornings will receive a free refurbished computer. Now, the monitor, keyboard, and mouse are sold separately. Cosmic Sales is located at 28757 Industry Drive in Valencia, and we're open to the public from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and from 9 to 2 on Saturdays. Business owners, You can check out our wholesale pricing online at www.computer-show.com. That's www.computer-show.com. And don't forget the dash. If you're looking for high-quality, refurbished, brand-name computers, make sure you visit Cosmic Sales. We've been one of the Southland's best-kept secrets for 16 years, but the secret is out now. If you got questions, call us toll-free at 877-800-SHOW. That's 877-800-SHOW. We'll see you at Cosmic Sales.
One computer per family. First 5 people in line. Offer ends December 24th, 2011.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom450.com. Get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom450.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 450.com. Freedom450.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, this just in, I am very pleased to announce that I will be the next host of the Oscars. I'd like to thank Eddie for laying the groundwork. I really do appreciate it. I understand his leaving, going with Brett Ratner on their merry way, and God bless both of them. But it is my pleasure to be there and to pick up where Eddie left off and take it to even in loftier heights, and I'm really looking forward to being a part of the Oscar family. That is my statement, ladies and gentlemen. And again, a pleasure to be a part of it. The Tony Katz Radio Show continues. 805-639-0008. I don't think that it is responsible to talk about all the things that we talk about on this show and not talk about what has been happening at Penn State. Penn State, where story after story after story after story have come out about assistant coaches there. What's to say? Molesting student-athletes and very, very small children. The sickness that is at play here. It already came out earlier today that Coach Paterno will resign at the end of this year. His contract is up this year. It will be done. And right now, CBS Pittsburgh is reporting that an investigation confirms that the Penn State Board of Trustees, that they'll be meeting an executive session tonight. The board will be putting together a departure package for Penn State President Graham Spanier, and he will be asked to resign. I'm not sure what his connection is to the scandal. He'll be asked to accept the deal the trustees come up with, or he will be fired. Spanier has retained Harrisburg defense attorney Joshua Locke in his grand jury matter. The calls for both Spanier, forgive me if I'm not pronouncing it right, S-P-A-N-I-E-R, and Paterno to be removed from their positions stem from an ongoing child sexual abuse scandal involving former defensive coordinator Jerry Sandusky. Sandusky is accused of sexually assaulting several children while on Penn State's campus. Two other Penn State officials, athletic director Tim Curley and senior vice president for finance and business Gary Schultz, who, by the way, has the freakiest looking photo you have ever seen, are facing perjury charges for statements made during the grand jury investigation. Paterno came out with a statement earlier today announcing his retirement. He stated, and I'm quoting here, "I am absolutely devastated by the developments in this case. I grieve for the children and their families." I'm trying to get my computer to move down so I can read the rest of it for you.
I pray for their comfort and relief. I have come to work every day for the last 61 years with one clear goal in mind. To serve the best interests of this university and the young men who have been entrusted to my care, I have the same goal today. That's why I have decided to announce my retirement effective at the end of the season. At this moment, the Board of Trustees should not spend a single minute discussing my status. They have far more important matters to address. I want to make this as easy for them as I possibly can. This is a tragedy. It is one of the great sorrows of my life. With the benefit of hindsight, I wish I had done more. My goals now are to keep my commitments to my players and staff and finish the season with dignity and determination. And then I will spend the rest of my life doing everything I can to help this university. I was watching ESPN earlier today when that came across, and it was Stephen A. Smith in for him a reserved voice, but still yelling. Turner's got to go right now. He's got to say, "Okay, I'm out. I'm done." And listen, I'm not going to sit here and feel bad for Joe Paterno. It's 409 wins. It's the most wins in Division 1A history. His coaching greatness goes unchallenged. But how amazing that 61 years. That's how long it took to get to this moment, and none of it matters. This has been going on with Sandusky for a while. The what did he know, and the when did he know it, and the how did he know it, this is what's starting to come out. Turned a blind eye. He didn't report it. He didn't say anything. Not that he went to the police to report it. He didn't say to an athletic director. Okay, so this is screwed up. This is a problem. This is happening. You lose your legacy for that. You lose it all for that. And I know that so many people can look at this and say, I think it's a time and place thing. I think it has to do with the age. I think it has to do with how he grew up. And that maybe this isn't something that that there's only so far that conversation can go. You want to kid yourself that you didn't see it the first time. I don't know what to say to that. You want to kid yourself you didn't see it the second, third, fourth, fifth. This is a guy who could have gone out 3 years ago, and nobody would say a word. Or he'd have so many levels of plausible deniability. Not that that's right, but he could have. And this is a sick, sick story. And when you see people like Matt Millen on ESPN quite literally crying, he's so disgusted. Somebody, however, had put out there that Penn State deserves what's known as the death penalty, where they basically through certain levels of punishment, eliminate the program. I mean, they destroy the program. That you know bowl games and know this and know that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that whatsoever. I don't think it's going to help anybody. I don't think that it's going to change what Sandusky has done. I don't think it's going to change these students. I don't think it's going to change these players. I don't think it's going to make better the lives of these men. But I think that in the end, Stephen A. Smith is right, and Joe Paterno doesn't have the right, if you want to look at it that way. He doesn't get to end on his terms. Not anymore. He had every opportunity for the past 61 years to end it on his terms. And he chose not to do it. It has to end on these terms. It has to end interrupted. It has to end jagged. Not smooth. Not a steady landing. It has to end ripped. As if you were just about to get to the very end of the movie, and it clipped off like a Sopranos ending. Just clipped right off. And you're left to wonder what comes next. My thanks to everyone. My thanks to Craig Robinson. Don't forget Facebook and Twitter. Tony Katz. Tomorrow, everyone, from Denver. Take care.